to be here and to worship and to just gather together here. In the name of Christ, what a blessing it's been, a challenge to all my family. I have with me again my beautiful sweet wife, Tina. Tina Wave, would you like to say anything this time? She has never taken me up on my offer. And so we do have our two boys, Jack and Will. And let's see here, Jack and Will. How many of you think you can remember their names, Jack and Will? It's like Jack and Jill, only different. But William hates when I say that because then everybody starts calling him Jill. So I said, Will, listen, what else do you want me to say? Jack and the Beanstalk? Do you want to be a beanstalk? I mean, so Beanstalk Jill, I don't know. His name is Will, and he just shot his first deer this year, four-point buck. How about that? For all you hunters out there, Jack got a button buck as well. So we're kind of getting into the hunting world. For those of you who are with PETA, who aren't clapping, okay, we'll try to pick that up after the service. So anyways, we live on 640 acres of woods, okay? You may ask, are you a hunter? Well, no, I'm not. I didn't grow up being a hunter, okay? I'm not a hunter. But when you move on 640 acres of trees, you just become one, okay? You just hunt in your backyard. Okay, so anyways. So we are just enjoying serving the Lord up at Camp Kobiak, Christian Youth Camp, Houghton Lake area, year-round facility. We offer a lot of events, of course, for the kids, families, and whatnot. It's just a privilege to serve the Lord, and we get to see God do some amazing things right there in the camp ministry. The way I say it, it's like a concentrated work of God. So many churches, close to 200, 225 churches or so utilize the facilities on a year-round basis. And there's nothing magical about it. I mentioned that this morning, but there's just something supernatural about it when you kind of get away from distractions, get in God's creation, and in a spirit-filled, loving Christian, Word of God preaching way, you're going to see God do amazing things. And we get to see such a concentrated work of God. Thank you so much, church, for sending up campers and being part of the ministry of Camp Kobiak. It really is a privilege to serve the Lord and to partner with churches who believe the gospel, believe the Word of God, and want to see Jesus Christ impact the next generation. And so that's how camp plays the role into this world and global impact. And thank you for the opportunity to be here during this month to emphasize that. It certainly is a privilege to preach God's word. Easiest way to stay connected with Camp Kobiak, just grab one of these cards off the table over there and fill it out, email, and so forth. And this will get you on our mailing list and email list. Stay connected with things. I want to mention one thing before we get into Galatians. We do have our new family camp brochures, another event that we have here at Camp Kobiak. Everybody say, ooh. Ladies, I'm going to sell you on this right now. Men, I just want to apologize right now. Ladies, you ready for this? How many of you want to go to a place where you don't have to cook a meal? Plan a meal? Pick up after meal? Sign up for family camp. We'll do all that for you. You know those 80 counselors that we have during the normal weeks of camp? You know what they become during the week of family camp? Babysitters. Your babysitters. We attach at least one summer staff to every family that comes up, help you out with childcare and whatnot. And so, ladies, please sign up for family camp right after the service, right over here, okay? And so, seriously, it's a great investment in your family. If you're looking for an option like that for the summer, we got 2 weeks that we have. Grab a brochure, some information, of course. Check us out on social media as well. Okay, everybody good on that? So Kobiak commercial is done. Let's get our focus back on the Word of God and be challenged again here in the book of Galatians. We learned this morning, for those of you who were here, and those of you who were here or who weren't here and said you loved my message. Somebody came up and said, I love the message today. He goes, but I was with the children, so I never heard it. Yeah. What was that? I will not call him out. I will not even point to what section he is over here. Okay, and so this morning, we talked about a very simple message, and the simple message this morning was what? Don't change the message. Why? It's God's message, yeah. It wasn't Grand Rapids Baptist Church's message. It wasn't the message of the founding of America. It wasn't the message of necessarily this century. It wasn't Charles Spurgeon or D.L. Moody's message or the Baptist Church's message. It was a message that came directly from God himself and the heart and mind of God in eternity past, and it's his gospel. And it's our job as believers and churches to align ourselves up with the gospel and the word of God. Because it's God's message. Don't change it. It was a message. It doesn't matter who you are. You could be an apostle or you could be an angel. If anybody preaches any other message and perverts the gospel, let him be accursed. And we talked about this morning how that, man, that sounds like strong language, doesn't it? And it sounds very serious. Let him be accursed? Well, it's serious because it's what? Because it is serious. Because people go to hell if they don't believe the message. People will stand under God's condemnation and die in their own sin and have to stand before God and give an account. And if they reject Jesus, they're going to be separated from him forever. So it's serious because it's serious. And when you offend God and change his message, and of course the Apostle Paul laid out in Galatians chapter 1 how that this message, we didn't have a lot of time to develop it, but Paul does share in Galatians a little bit of his testimony. And the third point we made this morning was that don't change the message because by itself it has the power to change. To turn some persecuting, zealous Pharisee into one of the greatest Christian missionaries of all times. And the reason there was 1 million believers by the end of the first century, if you do your math on it, those of you who can track with me for about 10 seconds, you had the 12 disciples, 120 in the upper room, 500 saw Jesus, several thousand saved at Pentecost, several more thousand saved in the book of Acts, and then we kind of have Acts happen. But by the end of the first century, there was close to 1 million believers in the known world because the Apostle Paul was a big reason for that. God used him in a tremendous way to bear his name to the Gentiles and across the world. And what happened? Because the gospel changed him. Hey, listen. Don't change the message because it was that message that changed you. Listen, it was a message that changed you. And it can change your kids. Send them to camp. Why do we always come back to camp? You knew that was coming, Tyler. You knew. Send them to camp. Okay. And but it was a message that changed your kids. And don't you want your grandkids to live for the Lord and love the Lord and love the gospel? Come on, help me out here. Don't you want, it's a generational thing because it's God's message. And it has the power to change, and it's the power to save. So, preach it as is. And tell sinners that they can come to Jesus, trust in his righteousness, and get the gift of eternal life and forgiveness of sins forever. That's what you tell them. Because it's the authority of Almighty God. Okay, so that was this morning. You didn't even need to show up this morning, okay? Just summed it up for you, okay? We're going to be in Galatians and look at a couple of verses. We're going to talk tonight about what I'm going to call the perfect tension of the gospel, okay? It's a little bit, we're going to unpack some things here in the book of Galatians, okay? And so I think you can track with me. These truths have been on my heart really for a long time. I would say the last 3 months especially. Of believers understanding what I'm going to call the tension of the gospel. And it's just kind of really 2 points, okay? If you could pretend these 2 points are gigantic stakes in the ground, and all I'm going to do tonight is kind of pound this one in, and then pound this one in, and then pound this one in, and I might pound this one in some more, and I'm going to pound this one in. And hopefully by the end of tonight, you're going to understand these 2 tensions of Scripture, okay, 2 tensions of the gospel, and so that you'll be more grounded is Paul's burden here in the book of Galatians. He says, I'll travail in birth again till Christ be formed in you. Moses said, am I a nursing father? Paul says, I travail in birth again. Little unique metaphors for men to talk about, okay? But here in Galatians, you guys with me? Metaphors that men should not, okay, right, okay. All the ladies are like, amen. All the men are like, what? Because we're always clueless. Okay, and so we have these truths, and Paul says in the book of Galatians that he travailed in birth again till Christ be formed in you, because that's what the gospel does. And we're going to talk about both of these tensions here this evening, okay? If you grab your scriptures, if you would, please. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, quickly. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. And we're going to bounce around just a little bit, but I want you to catch these foundational verses about the perfect tension of the gospel. Here we go, Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. Ye did run well. Pause. For a Jew, which Paul was, to say that circumcision didn't matter anymore was a big deal. A huge deal. Okay, you with me? And so he says, circumcision, uncircumcision availeth, doesn't avail anything anymore, but faith. But faith, which works by what? Love. Galatians chapter 6, if you would please, verse 15. Galatians 6, verse 15 are 2 foundational verses that lay this out for us. Verse 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but what? But a new creature. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew anymore, and it doesn't matter if you're a Gentile. What matters now is that you become born again. You're a new creature. See it? The gospel commands and puts forward this idea that people need to be born again. Enter covenant with God by faith in what Jesus did for you on the cross. Drive that one home. And then it says, well, what matters now is after you've been justified by the faith in Jesus, what matters now that you continue in that faith. So that Christ is now going to be formed in you. And actually, now you have the power of the Spirit of God inside you for Jesus to become real and for the transformation of the gospel to really, like really, not fake, not rules, not facade, but a deep, real transformation to happen in your life by the power of the Spirit of God. Let's pray. We'll look at these two tensions in Scripture. Father, thank you for your goodness. And I pray that you'd be with us the next few moments to allow our hearts and our minds to be engaged in these realities, in these truths of the gospel, that we walk away, number one, forever resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And number two, that we'd be so moved and motivated to pursue you in faith for real transformation of the gospel until we meet you face to face. And I pray that you allow our hearts to go that way this evening. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. At camp, one of the games we play or have played before is a game called tug of war. How do you remember playing tug of war? No, not the fake tug of war the kids do in the basement. I'm talking about the real rope with like 100 people on that side and like 100 people on that side. I'm talking about the real one where there's a pit in the middle dug out with mud, right? And then how many of you ever played that and like kind of gone back and forth? Well, in the game of tug of war, they usually have that little flag thing in the middle. Big rope goes that way. Big rope goes that way. And then usually the guy says, one, two, three, go, blows wisdom, begin to pull, right? And they have those times with when the competition is pretty equal. And that rope, even though like 100 people are pulling that way and 100 people pulling that way, that rope just stays kind of like in the middle. In other words, it's a perfect what? Tension. Okay. I believe that these two truths tonight produce, in a sense, a perfect, what I call tension or understanding of how the gospel works to attack both extremes of both positions. We have at Camp Kobiak many activities. One of the activities we do have is the zip line. Oh man, has anybody here ridden the zip line at Camp Kobiak? Yes, some of you have. Okay, it's kind of fun. You know, it's like one of these ones. It's called a gravity one where you don't really you kind of go and then you kind of zoom, and eventually gravity just stops you. And then you kind of get off. And so it's pretty intense. Kids like it. Teens like it. It's a pretty fun time. Well, when they put this zip line in, they drill the big pole in the ground, and the main cable by which you zip on goes all the way down to another huge pole on that side of the camp. Okay, and then they have this thing called a guy wire. How many of you know what that is? Okay, usually it's attached to either another fixed object, sometimes a tree, sometimes a big cement thing in the ground, okay? In our situation, I think we have both setups, okay? But there's a thing called a guy wire, and it's absolutely needed. A guy wire is a tension cable designed to add stability to a freestanding structure. And so the guy cable wire is not the main wire that they zip on, but it's absolutely essential. I'm going to pass code because they won't pass it, but it's absolutely essential for the thing to have the perfect tension that exists in this. Now, what I'm going to call tonight, that the main wire is justification by faith. We talked about that today, that a sinner is saved by faith in Jesus. Not because the sinner adds any merit or value to anything, but because what Jesus did for us on the cross was powerful enough, wonderful enough, according to Almighty God, he died for our sin, paid it completely, it is finished, get your hands off it, leave it alone, just believe it, receive it as is. Okay, and it's powerful, okay? But there's another truth in Galatians that what I am going to call not the promise of justification, which is the freedom from sin and forgiveness of sin, but it's the purpose of the gospel. So we have the promise of the gospel, say it, and the purpose of the gospel. And if you understand these two tensions in Scripture, that the Lord is going to allow you to understand, I think, a great balance of understanding the gospel, okay? Galatians chapter 6, verse 15, Galatians 5, verse 6, a verse we just read. First of all, let's just focus our attention once again very quickly on the promise of the gospel. Look in chapter 5, verse 4, if you would, please. 5, verse 4. Once again, we covered this morning, but just to review, Paul was preaching the gospel in these churches of Galatia. Most likely, a Jewish context came in, whether it was one people, multiple preachers, and they began to preach that a person is not saved by Jesus alone, but they're saved by Jesus plus getting circumcised and following the Mosaic Covenant. which what they did, they just did, was added to the gospel, and they began to pervert the gospel. So Paul spends all this time of saying, no, it's Jesus alone that saves. He delivered you from the curse of the law because Christ became a curse for you. Chapter 5, verse 4. What was happening was if they submit themselves back to the law, verse 4, Christ has become of no what? No effect to you. Yeah. Jesus means nothing anymore if you're trying to get saved by what you do. Does that make sense? So if you're saying, I am justified before God by what I do, whether I get baptized, a little bit more kind of in our context today, or I have to be a good person, or I have to do this or this or this, Jesus plus, you fill in the blank. If you're there, you make Christ of no effect to you, that he means nothing, and what the cross means is nothing, because you just added to it. Now, you didn't say it, but we just said what Jesus did for you on the cross was not good enough, powerful enough, able enough to save you. And so Christ becomes of no effect to you, verse 4. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are what? Fallen from grace. So if I were to ask you this evening, on what basis, on what foundation, do you believe that you're saved? What are you resting in? What's your faith in? What are you depending upon? What are you looking to? If you say anything other than Jesus and his shed blood on the cross, you have missed the gospel. Because the promise of the gospel is that you can be forever justified from the penalty of your sin by simply placing your faith on Jesus. Not that you merit it, because of his merit and his righteousness and his value and his promise to you. And maybe some of you just need to hear this tonight. You are secure in Jesus forever. You're secure. You've been declared righteous forever. 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 We sang this morning, Christ will what? Hold me fast, but I don't feel saved. There's some times I wake up, and it's like 10 in the morning before I even feel saved. You with me? You ever have days like that? Where your mind and your heart's just going 1,000 different ways, and you're really struggling on the inside. You with me? And you know it here, but sometimes you're struggling here. You with me? And yet the truth of the gospel is that you need to quit adding things. What Jesus did for you was good enough, and your faith and dependence in Jesus. Because what matters is not circumcision or uncircumcision. What matters, you became a new creature. There was a time in your life when you were born what? Again, born from what? Above. Say it, born? Born from? And you became in union with Jesus Christ. God declared you righteous. You belong to Jesus Christ, and you need to rest in that. You need to rest in it. You don't merit it now. You didn't merit it then, and you will never merit it any time in your Christian experience in the future. Because it's forever on the basis of Jesus Christ. We're nailing this spike home. Okay. Let's turn the corner very quickly in what we call the purpose of the gospel. So not only is there the promise of the gospel, forever justified, we spent a lot of time this morning on that, is that we have what we call the purpose of the gospel. Chapter 2, verse 21. If you can go there just for a second. So, before I read that verse, this stake attacks any position, belief, preaching that adds things to the finished work of Jesus Christ. Fair enough? Everybody good? Everybody good? So, you're not saved by your church membership here. You're not saved by your baptism. Okay, we're driving this one home again. You with me? So what you're saying, Brother Aaron, is that I can be saved from all my sin, past, present, future. Well, number one, all your sin was in the future as Jesus died, number one. Think about that one, okay? Past, present, future. If I put my faith in Jesus, I can be saved forever? Well, that sounds too good to be true. Well, that's because you're thinking like a man, human. God's plan is salvation by grace. And when you add anything to the finished work of Jesus Christ, you're falling from grace. You missed it. God wants to save on the basis of his son, period, dot, end. You will never earn it, never merit it. Brother Aaron, you keep repeating the same point. I know, because that's how serious the gospel is. It is justification by faith. Okay, so we're saved forever by Jesus alone. Simple childlike faith in Jesus alone. You can be 4 years old. You can be 80 years old. I encourage you, when God's working your heart, you better respond to him, because we know that no man comes to Jesus unless they're drawn.
and the Spirit of God is convicting and working, if God's dealing with your heart about being born again, you need to respond to that in faith, trusting in Jesus. Okay, so we're driving this one home because now we're going to get to you guys here in a little bit, where we're at probably tonight with most of you. So, Brother Aaron, I'm saved forever. Got it. On the basis of Jesus. Got it. So, I can now live. Wait. I'm saved forever, right? Forever. Like, nothing I can add, subtract. Okay, so now I can live what? What's kind of the logical thinking? Free. And I'm going to define my own freedom. I can live however I want. I can do whatever I want. Because you're saying, Brother Aaron, that I'm saved based on what Jesus did. So I guess now that I'm saved, it was an experience that happened to me. I've come to Christ, and now I can live however I want. And of course, the Apostle Paul adamantly is against that. Verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. What I want to look at very quickly is the purpose of the gospel. Okay, everybody with me? We don't got a lot of fancy illustrations tonight, but everybody with me? Is everybody with me? That is, God has a purpose in his gospel. And it was to take sinners and justify them. And then take those justified sinners and change them. So they would manifest him to a lost and dying world. And the main way, we know from Scripture, the main way of this process, we call it sanctification, we call it being made holy, the main way is when God gave you individually the Holy what? Spirit. If you would, flip over to Galatians chapter 4. We're going to bounce around just a little bit, but I want you to see it. Verse 4, I love this. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Okay, this is going back to the fact that this is God's message. He initiated it. He planned it. Verse 4, here we go. But when the fullness of the time was come, God planned to enter human history, right? And we know from history that the Roman peace, Pax Sana, Pax, right? And that the road system and that the common language at the time of the birth of Jesus was perfect. In other words, what was happening in historical earth, it was the best time for the gospel to come to the world. Okay, Rome conquered the world. There was great peace. They all kind of had the common language. It was the road system for the gospel to eventually go everywhere. And so history looks back and says, wow, that was a good time to enter, you know, human existence. You know, like, God didn't know that, okay? And so God entered human existence. The Bible says when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth what? Wait, God what? So I guess he's in this. If God sent forth his son, I guess he's in this Jesus thing, right? For God so loved the world that he what? Okay, so he gave his son. So the Lord is in this. He sent forth his son made of a woman. So he had to have a body to eventually be sacrificed. Made under the law so that he could fulfill the righteousness of the law to deliver you and I from it. To redeem them that were under the law that we might receive the adoptions of sons. Now don't miss it. God sent forth his son, verse 4. Verse 6, and because you are sons, God hath what? We can be a little interactive tonight. What does it say? Yeah, so God sent forth his son into this world to save sinners, to justify sinners. And now that they're justified, God sent forth his spirit where? If you are born of the spirit, God sent forth that spirit into your hearts. And we know that the reason, verse 6, the spirit of his son into your hearts crying, Abba, Father. And that language there is a term that the Gentiles would know, that this God who was the Gentile God, if you would, the God that came to the Gentiles first, is now the God of the Gentiles of the whole world. And this spirit now brings an intimacy with all believers to him, whereby they cry, Abba, Father. Okay, you listening? So the way that God saves, justifies sinners and begins to transform them is by sending the Holy Spirit where? Into your hearts. Okay, into your hearts. So the purpose of the gospel is now what? Have the Spirit in your heart. so that God now can commune with you, have intimacy with you, and transform and change every one of his children. And that is what God wants to do in your heart, and it wants to do in your the heart of every believer in this room. Chapter 4, verse 19, Paul says this, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again." Once again, interesting language, but I think Paul is really burdened about this because he wants to see something happen. He wants to see something happen in every one of these justified sinners. He wants to see Christ, the real Jesus, which is in you, take control so that you manifest Christ to a lost and dying world by the transformation that happens in your heart and your life. Now, folks, this isn't really, the sermon's not built up with a lot of illustrations and stuff, and I understand that. But I can't tell you anything other than anything other powerful and greater than the fact that God justifies sinners by the gospel, and then he comes to those justified sinners with real power and change. If that ain't good enough for you, then I don't know what is. God sent forth his Holy Spirit to your heart. Paul travailed in birth till Christ would be formed in you. Galatians 2:20, we know this verse. It fits right in with the purpose of the gospel. I am what? Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not what? I, but what? Lives where? The gospel brought Jesus Christ to the manger to justify sinners. Now the gospel brings Jesus Christ right to your heart to change you. And you now have sufficiency in Jesus, not just for justification, but now that I'm saved and resting in the finisher of Jesus Christ, I now have power in me every day for transformational change in my life. So that you have no excuse. Okay? And I have no excuse. And boy, wouldn't it be great if we lived this a little more consistent to this world? Because God wants to take sinners and change them now. And what happens is we fall from grace, and you know, we're good independent Baptists, and we believe the Bible. And anybody that messes with this one, we really get worked up with, don't we? You're saved by baptism. No, right? We get worked up about that one, right? And we get worked up when anybody adds anything to the finished work of Jesus Christ as the basis of my salvation, right? But then we come to this one over here, and it's like, well, we can just kind of be a little more casual in my Christian life. Well, it's not that God lives in me. it's not that the Son of God actually lives in me. It's not that there was this, you know, there was this experience that happened to me that was described in the Bible as passing from death unto life. That didn't, you know, that's not how it is, right? It's not like I'm a new creature in Christ and I'm born again and all these things. And then we kind of treat this casualness of the gospel because, oh, we're saved, right? Oh, we're saved, right? You guys saved? Oh, we're saved. Look, we come to church, we sing a few songs. Great, let's go home and forget about Jesus all week, right? And folks, we often live there and we get there really quick, don't we? Don't we, folks? You know? And yet, Paul, and I think the book of Galatians brings us back to these tensions. Remember I talk about tensions? That we love this one that's pulling this way. Jesus alone saves. And all God's people said, and now Jesus is in you, he wants to change you. Ooh, okay, you know. Okay, so I guess you're not free to do whatever you want, are you? If you know Jesus, raise your hand. Hold your finger like this and say, I don't belong to me. I want you to live like that. Yeah. You know, we want the justification. Oh, yeah. I don't want to go to hell, right? I don't want to pay for my sin, right? Wow. And yet, the more you understand this, oh, we're not saved by what we do. And this is the tension. We're not saved by what we do. We're saved. We're saved. We're saved. We're saved. We're saved. Now that you're saved, would you look at the power that's available to you on a daily basis and say, I just want to be like Jesus Christ. And I'm not here to have a discussion on standards, okay? I think we should have them. I think there's protection, raising kids, things like that. But here's the deal. What greater standard do you want? What higher standard is there? You can now love God supremely and love others completely because of the Spirit of living God that lives inside you. You can now fulfill the great commandments. You want a standard? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the standard. You want to know the other standard? Love your neighbor as yourself. And now through the power of the Spirit of God, you're not justified by the law, but now you have the power within you to actually fulfill the law, which is love God and love others. And that is the gospel. Isn't it beautiful tension? Am I saved by what I do? No, I'm saved by what Jesus did. But now that I'm saved, I have the power within me to actually love God and love others. I'm gonna give you four practical points. We're done. Here we go. Number one, you ready? I won't go any further unless you're ready. Okay, so that was a little doctrinal high. We're going to get intensely practical right now because I think the book of Galatians gets there. Number one, quit fighting. Verse 15 of chapter 5. Let's get there, please. And we'll wrap up just in the few moments that we have. Chapter 5, verse 15. Everybody doing okay? Aren't you glad that Jesus died in your place? And aren't you glad that God sent forth his Spirit into your heart? Okay. Here we go. Verse 15. You need to quit fighting. But if you bite and devour what? One another. Well, verse 14 says, the law is fulfilled in one word. Even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. The Spirit-filled passage, the Spirit-filled life described all these verses in this passage has everything to do with relationships. The first thing, quit fighting. Quit fighting. Quit fighting. Quit fighting in your marriage, will you? Don't y'all look at me like it don't happen. Yep. Oh, it's easy to sing Pastor Hassel about the finished work of Jesus, isn't it? And we love it, and this is powerful, and we should exalt in it and rest in it. It is finished. I'm saved. Now Christ is in me, so I don't fight with my wife. It hits home a little bit, doesn't it? Did you yell at your kids this week? Okay. Who are you not right with? Come on. There's somebody you're not right with. Who are you bitter at? Pastor Cool you're going to say, Pastor Cool, don't invite the camp guy back. Okay. He's just really getting. Who are you fighting with? Jesus says, before you come to the altar, just leave your gift at the altar and then go get right with somebody. Because getting right with somebody is real Christianity. Because you can come to church and sing about the finished work of Jesus Christ, but if you're bitter at somebody, I mean, I don't mean to be unkind, but don't sing. Because the finished work of Jesus Christ and everything he did was so that the Spirit of God could come into my heart so that in my family that we live right and we live loving. And at work, I live loving and kind and forgiving. And y'all fight and we struggle with some things sometimes too, but I look her in the eye and said, I'm wrong, I need to get right. So that we have real Christianity. And that is Christ in me fulfilling the law of loving thy neighbor as thyself. So love people. Quit fighting. Get it? Otherwise, you're going to bite and devour one another. You either serve people and love people, and it's not about you, or you're just going to end up getting irritated all the time. And you're going to fight. Okay? Some of you need to get some things right tonight. So I'm going to quit fighting. I'm going to quit this. So number one, quit fighting. Number two, start fighting. I love this. I love my outlines. Okay, quit fighting. Start fighting. Verse 17, different kind of fight. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the what? Yep, verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. So quit fighting in your relationships, but start fighting the flesh. We have within every single one of us a flesh that pulls us towards sin. And these are desires that are inside a saved Christian. So even though you've been justified by Jesus, you still have flesh, but now you have the power of the Spirit of God to fight the flesh. The flesh is warring. That's the idea with the Spirit. The Spirit is warring against the flesh. You ever been there? You ever felt that fight? Y'all there, right? Because it's just where you should be, because a Christian that's not fighting, it makes me a little nervous. Okay? You should be fighting, because there should be this internal struggle that you're using the power of the Spirit to say no to sinful desires. Because Christ wanted to produce a bunch of people who don't follow their sinful desires and manifest the flesh, but a group of people who walk in the Spirit and fight the flesh so that they manifest the fruit of the Spirit. So there's a bunch of people out there that should be producing love, joy, and peace, and long-suffering, and gentleness, and goodness. And that only happens when you decide to fight. Did you quit fighting? Did you quit fighting? Or are you so used to being in the flesh that it don't matter? Check your appetites. Now we're talking about entertainment. Check your appetites. You feeding the flesh? No joy, no peace. You can make excuses all you want. You can justify all you want. If you're feeding the flesh, you know it. Because I know it when I'm feeding it. And I got to say no to it. And so do you. Make sense? Everybody good? Because Jesus wants to produce a bunch of people who are justified. And then he wants to change them. And the way he changes us is by the power of the Spirit of God. Everybody good? Number one, quit fighting. Number two, start fighting. Number three, don't be tricked. Verse 6, verse 8. A couple more, we're done. Here we go, really quickly. Chapter 6, verse 8. He that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap what? He that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap? Yeah, be not deceived. Don't be what? Tricked. God is not mocked. Probably the most important statement I might make for some of you is going to happen right now. The most important statement I've said all night. Justification does not exempt you from reaping and sowing. You with me? Being in Jesus doesn't take this principle out of your life. Because the choices you make are the choices you make. And you will still reap corruption even though the Spirit of God lives inside you. And I could stand up here for the next 3 hours and tell you people that I know that are born again, that walk away from God, get in the flesh, and still ruin their lives. Because you're not exempt from it. Y'all can walk away from God right now. If any man thinks that he standeth, let him take heed lest he fall. Because justification does not exempt us from reaping and sowing. So I want to challenge you just to think through, folks. Y'all mature believers in here, listen. Think through the choices you make in your spiritual disciplines and in your life with your entertainment choices or your money or whatever the case may be, because whatever you are sowing is what you're going to reap. And I want to challenge you to sow to the Spirit of God to reap these things that you ought to reap in your life, which is joy and peace and the blessing of walking with Jesus Christ. Last but not least, some of you need to hear this, verse 9. Number one, quit fighting. Number two, start fighting. Number three, don't be tricked. And number four, we're done. Don't give up. Verse 9, let us not be weary in what? Well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Some of you may be thinking tonight that you're going to walk away from God. Like, what's the point, right? What's the point? Why am I doing this? And Satan may be tempting you, and you're down, and nobody else in this room knows about it, but you know. From the authority of the Word of God, some of you need to hear this tonight. Don't give up. Because Jesus Christ saved you. And by his grace and by his sufficiency, he'll forgive and cleanse and get you back on track so that he can use you to make a difference in this world. Because what this world needs, listen, what this world needs is to proclaim the message of the gospel that Jesus saves. And a bunch of Christians in this room who are going to decide to actually really live out Christ in you. So don't give up. Don't give up. Because one day, Jesus Christ will fulfill his promise to you. Galatians chapter 5 says this, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. You are called. Listen, you are called to live your life believing in things you don't see. Take away the music. Take away the fanfare. It's just you believing what Jesus promised you, that he's going to raise you from the dead. And you're just going to keep hoping, believing. Because it doesn't matter if you're circumcision or uncircumcision. What matters is faith, which works by love. It doesn't matter anymore, circumcision or uncircumcision. What matters is you become a new creature. See it? See the tensions? And so this week, You should walk around and you only see two types of people, saved and unsaved. Because what matters right now is people enter into a covenant with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Get it? A new creature. And then every believer in this room, the only thing that matters in your life right now, the only thing is whether or not you simply still trust Jesus. Not to justify you, you're already justified, but to give you the power to live a transformed life and make a difference in this world. The promise of justification, you forever will be in a loving relationship with Jesus Christ on the basis of Jesus. And all God's people said? Amen. The purpose of justification, he wants to take these justified sinners and transform them by the Spirit. And some of you need to jump on board. Quit fighting. Start fighting. Okay? Allow God to change you and never give up. Fair enough? Everybody good? Everybody got it? I'll re-preach that whole thing if you don't say yes right now. Okay. Revel in this. Ask Jesus to change you and help you. Keep going forward for him.